Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Exercise. We all know that we should do it, but it's not something that we put on our priority list. I'm speaking to Professor Anne Tiedemann. She's a professor at the University of Sydney, and she's an expert in physical activity and health. Anne has been working with a group of women. In fact, they're looking for 1,000 women in order to consider how they can improve falls. It's not just for older people, though. This is important for younger people. The more that we can improve our physical well-being helps our mental health well-being. Anne has been working on this project over the year, and in her time, she secured over $25 million in competitive grant funding to underscore the impact and importance of her research. It's one of those areas that we all know can help everyone. Welcome, Anne, to the Community Conversations podcast. Really interested to talk about this topic. I was a long-term aerobics instructor in my very early days and love fitness, but it isn't something that everyone is so keen on in life.
That's true. Thanks, Kerry. Very true. Not everyone loves physical activity, but we know, you know, it's really important for our health and well-being. So we need to find ways of encouraging more people to be physically active.
And of course, Anne, your work developing and implementing evidence-based strategies to promote physical activity and prevent falls is so important because it's that evidence base to get people to understand the importance of doing it throughout all of your life, not just when you're younger.
Exactly. So, you know, we have a really large amount of evidence now showing the importance of physical activity for things like preventing disease, like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, for example. It also reduces the risk of many cancers like bowel cancer and breast cancer. And we know that it makes us feel good. It promotes happiness, it promotes well-being, social connection. And as we get older, it reduces our risk of becoming frail and losing our independence. So it's incredibly important for maintaining our muscle strength and our balance, so we can live independently for longer and avoid falling over, and also avoid things like developing dementia. It's also implicated as a risk factor for dementia. So it's incredibly important for our physical and our mental health. So what we need is better strategies to support older people in particular. So that's my area of interest, older or middle-aged and older people. We need strategies that support people to be more active and to sustain that physical activity over the long term. Need it to be the easy choice, I guess, you know, making it seem easier and a convenient way of living our life, I guess, or having a daily routine of being active is really what we need.
And isn't it interesting, Anne, that if you have an older person in the room, people usually rush to find them a chair, but sitting,
exactly.
Isn't it? Don't they?
Yeah.
sit down, yeah. But sitting's not necessarily good
yeah.
for us.
No, so, yeah, it's funny, isn't it, the culture of saying, you know, you're old, you should sit down, I'll do things for you. It's actually not that helpful for an older person. We need them to still be doing their daily activities, moving about as much as possible, getting that incidental physical activity is really important, as well as the structured types of exercise and physical activity. Yeah, we need a balance. We do need to rest sometimes, but we do need to encourage older people to keep moving and to keep doing as much as they can, because that maintains their function and their strength.
So just tell us how you actually set up the research project, Anne. What was actually involved?
Yeah, so we've got a few different research projects happening at the moment here at Sydney Uni. One of them that I could mention is called Active Women Over 50, and this is really targeting women in that middle age group. And we've targeted that age group because we know that women in that cohort are often juggling many different responsibilities. So they often have employment, often still caring for children, and now they're often caring for their older parents as well. So we call them the sandwich generation quite often. So there's a lot that they've got on their plate, and it's often difficult to prioritise their own health and well-being. And so this project, Active Women Over 50, it's a remotely delivered, it's an online program, and it's all about helping women to change their behaviour and to increase their physical activity. So what we're doing is we're offering health coaching. So that's a supportive coaching approach delivered by a research physiotherapist who can really help the participants to decide on what their particular goals are for being more active, what their preferences are in terms of what types of physical activity they would like to do, and to talk about any barriers so they can come up with solutions to those barriers. And then what we do is we offer them ongoing motivational messages through email or text messages. And we've also developed a specific website that has a wealth of resources that can help give them ideas about how to be active and, again, information and support. And we also have case studies of videos of women who've managed to be active to help to motivate and give people ideas about what they could do to change their lives. And then finally, we have a Facebook group. So it's a way of developing a community and allowing women to share ideas with each other and to really motivate each other to be more active. So we're testing the effect of this program. We're going to recruit 1,000 women throughout New South Wales, and we'll test over 6 months whether the intervention or the program increases physical activity in that time. So we're about halfway through our research. We've recruited around 500 people, and we're really looking forward to seeing whether it's an effective approach. And what's good about it is that it's all delivered over the telephone and the internet, so it can be delivered to anyone in any location.
And what's the intention, Anne? What type of organisations, or how would this be delivered? How will it be? How will people find out about it?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So at the moment, it's a research study. We've got funding to deliver the program. If we show that it's effective, increasing physical activity, we would then be looking for existing systems or existing services that could deliver such a program. So in New South Wales, we have the Get Healthy telephone coaching service, which is funded by New South Wales Health. And so that's got a component of the program that we're testing. And so there would be potential for something like the Get Healthy service to be expanded, for example, to include other elements that we find to be effective and to be rolled out. So we'd need to be advocating or, you know, talking to policymakers and providers about delivering such a program, but we're really at the first step of testing the effectiveness first and then thinking about how it can be scaled up and implemented more broadly.
And of course, and the reason I wanted to speak to you today is because our community centres often see the people who are the very ones you're trying to reach.
Yep. Yes, so community-based exercise programs are extremely important. We need them throughout Australia, so we need more access to programs that people can access, they can feel comfortable, they know that it's suitable for their level of functioning, and we need variety. So it's important for people to have access to programs that are enjoyable. And we all have different tastes, so having a variety of types of exercise programs is really important. People often say to me, what's the best exercise I should do? And I say, it's the one that you enjoy. Choose something you have fun with or you enjoy, because you're more likely to keep doing it if you enjoy it. Another program we're testing is Dance for Health. So we've partnered with a dance studio in Queensland, and we're doing a small pilot trial of this dance program that's been developed for older adults. And we're looking at whether it's got potential for preventing falls in older adults. And that's really exciting because dance is another option that many older adults really enjoy. And if we can develop the evidence base around the effects of dance on falls, again, we can advocate for greater funding and greater support for such programs to be rolled out more broadly across the population.
I'm speaking to Professor Anne Tiedemann, who's a leading expert in physical activity and health, who is with University of Sydney. And what are the guideline recommendations on how much and what type of physical activity older adults should do to maximise their health and well-being?
Yeah, so the World Health Organization released their guidelines back in 2020. And in terms of the recommendations for older adults, they recommend older adults should do 150 to 300 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity each week. And when we say moderate, we mean physical activities that increase the breathing rate. We're huffing and puffing a little bit and breathing a bit faster and warming up, sweating a little bit. So brisk walking, for example. In addition to that, the guidelines recommend that strength training should be undertaken at least twice a week for all the major muscle groups. And we know strength training is so important for maintaining our functioning, allowing us to continue doing our daily activities and remaining independent. And then finally, for older adults, there's a recommendation around functional balance training. And this is recommended to be undertaken at least 3 times a week. And this is really important for preventing falls in older age. So we know that we need to do exercises that challenge our balance in order to improve our balance and keep us walking around and remaining steady and not having falls.
That's great. And can you give us some key tips for starting and maintaining a regular physical activity routine? Because so often people start something, get all keen, go crazy, and then all drops off.
Yeah, exactly. It's very common. So one point to note is with those guidelines, even if you can't reach those amounts, those number of minutes per week and number of sessions per week, doing anything is better than doing nothing. So any amount of physical activity that you can do is beneficial for your health and well-being. In terms of starting a program, it's good to think about what are your goals. So setting yourself some goals, and we like to talk about SMART goals. So they're goals that are specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're relevant, and they're time-bound. So, for example, rather than just saying, I want to get more fit or I want to become more active, be specific. So say something around, I will walk for 30 minutes every second day and I'm going to start this week. So being really specific about it, that way you can measure if you're reaching that goal or not. And it's a more achievable way of setting a goal. Another thing that people find helpful is if they can track their activity. So we all have smartphones, most of us have smartphones, and you can track the number of steps that you do on a daily basis. So using that as a feedback mechanism can help to just see how you're going and to see whether you're making progress. Some people also find that it's helpful to team up with a friend or a relative and be active together. So that social aspect can be really important for some people. And really, like I said, choosing an activity that you enjoy is really important. You should be pushing yourself a little bit, breathing harder, you know, feeling like you're doing definite exercise, but making sure it's a type of activity you like. So don't choose to go swimming if you don't particularly like swimming, for example. And really remembering that everyone has setbacks. So even if you start a program, you may become unwell and have to stop. Remember that that's normal and that you just need to start again and reset your goals, and maybe making sure that you start off slowly and gradually increase the amount of activity that you do, just to ensure that it's achievable and also that you don't have any injuries along the way by doing too much too soon. And then I guess finally one tip would be if you're frailer or you have particular health issues, to consult a health professional to get some advice around your individual situation so that you can choose activities that are suitable for your level of functioning at this time. But yeah, overall, the main message is that every move counts and that doing something is really better than nothing. And finally, that you can start and you can gain benefits at any age. So it's never too late to start being active and you'll still gain benefits at any age.
And Anne, what about walking? So a lot of people will say now they can't afford gym memberships. In fact, well, I do Pilates and it is not an inexpensive thing to do. It's an excellent thing to do because it's so good for your core, but it's not cheap.
Yeah, so walking's great and it's a really popular activity. And, you know, it's accessible. You can go outside and walk wherever you are, so it's great. In that respect, I would recommend, in addition to walking, to try and do some balance and strength training as well, particularly for older adults. And that can be done, you know, in the home without expensive equipment. You can do body weight exercises that develop strength, you know, as well. And you can do balance challenging exercises in your home as well. One resource that we have is called the Safe Exercise at Home website. And this was designed by experts in physiotherapy across Australia. And it's a great resource because it has videos of different intensity levels of activity. And so you can have a look at that website and get some tips on what types of exercises would help in terms of strength and balance training that you could add to the walking program if that's what you're choosing to do. But yeah, walking's great and it's accessible, and you can do things like find some stairs or find a slope to get that little bit of extra challenge and increase the intensity.
So what type of exercise is important for preventing falls specifically? Is that your balance and strength?
Yeah, so it is. So if you think about the way, you know, we get older and we start to lose our muscle strength, and we also, our balance declines when we reach about age 40, it starts to decline. And so we need to really try and work on those things to maintain our stability. And so, yeah, the evidence shows that balance challenging exercise is what we need for preventing falls. And so the main things to remember in terms of balance challenging exercises, we need to be performing it in a standing position, so not sitting in a chair. We need to stand up and move. We need to aim for reducing the base of support, so bringing the feet closer together or standing on one leg, so that'll also challenge your balance. And also moving the upper body, so you might stand with your feet one in front of the other and do some reaching exercise, for example. And you can imagine that makes you feel a little bit off balance and it challenges your stability, but that's how we improve our balance, by really challenging our balance. And testing out or practicing everyday activities is another way of doing that type of exercise. So one common exercise is practicing standing up from a seated position repetitively without using your arms for support. So really using your leg muscles and your balance to stand up and sit down rapidly, for example. And if we practice that several times a day, that can really improve our balance. Other things like lunging forwards and lunging to the side. And then another one is going up onto your tippy toes, so heel raises. So standing up tall, going up onto your toes, holding for a few seconds and then coming back down, and repeating that, say, 10 times, a couple of times a day. So they're all the things that we need to be thinking about, practicing everyday activities that do challenge our balance, and that's the way we improve our balance and reduce the risk of falling over.
So this is really helpful information, Anne. Where can listeners follow up to find this so that they can practice this at home?
Yeah, so exercises. So like I said, the Safe Exercise at Home website is really excellent. It's got videos and other information about how to challenge your balance. For more information, there's other resources like the Australian and New Zealand Falls Prevention Society. It has updates on the evidence and it has webinars and other things like that that really link you to the evidence around fall prevention. And there's also the World Health Organization has a number of resources around how to be active and stay healthy in older age.
Excellent. So the research you're doing now, you're halfway through. When do you expect to have it finished?
We've got to recruit 1,000 women, so we've still got a way to go. We'll probably finish recruiting everyone by a bit over a year from now, and then we follow them all up for about a year. So we've got a couple of more years before we'll know the answer as to whether the program works. But in the meantime, we're getting very good feedback about the program. People are really seeming to enjoy it. But we can't really look at the data until we've collected all 1,000 women's data points. So we'll have to wait a bit longer before we know the answer to that one, but we'll see how we go. It's a bit of a waiting game research.
It certainly is. And, of course, it's very important when we talk about impact on the economic purse, because preventive health, our health system is overwhelmed, so the more we can be preventive, the better.
Oh, it's so true. And we know physical activity impacts on so many different health conditions. It's beneficial for so many aspects of health, and it really is. It's a cost-saving exercise. If we can just get more people active, we're going to save health dollars. It's clear.
And it's mental health as well as physical health, because there's nothing better than going for a walk in nature.
Yep, that is so true. And I think one thing we don't focus on much is the immediate benefits of physical activity. So we know about long-term prevention of disease, but like you said, you're active today, you're going to sleep better tonight, you're going to feel happier, you'll deal with stress better today. So it's those immediate benefits as well that we need to be remembering, and the mental health benefits are huge.
Well, Anne, I really appreciate you coming on the program to talk to us about this very important topic. I encourage people to look at that Safe Exercise at Home website, and please let us know how the research goes.
Thanks so much, Kerry. It's been really good to talk to you.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.